perhaps Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu really agreeing, because really Rabbi Abahu was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, who was a Talmud of Chizkiah. However, if you look in the Yerushalmi, you will see that in the Yerushalmi, actually, it is an explicit machlokes. Rabbi Abahu contradicts himself. In one place, he says that any time it says La Yochal Lo Socha Lo Sochalu, or I don't know how to vocalize those words, but that it means Echad Isser Achila Echad Isser Hana. And another place, he says that Lo Yochal Lo Sochalu is Isser Achila only. Lo Ye Ochal Lo Seochel is Isser Hana also, which is really like Chizkiah in the Bavli. And the Gemara then, I didn't have a chance to go through Yerushalmi really carefully. It's the first sugya in Psachim, the second parak, as you might expect, just as that's where it is in the Bavli. And the Gemara poses, the Yerushalmi poses a steer in Rabbi Abahu. They ask him, but you just said the opposite. And the answer is, one was in the name of Rabbi Elazar, which is what we have in the Bavli, and the other is the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Apparently Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. So it's possible Rabbi Yochanan is a Talmud of Chizkiah, and that's where he got it from, but it's not that Rabbi Abahu is agreeing with Chizkiah. That, I think, is very clear. Okay. Anyway, what I want to do, at least start now, is I'd like to just go through the Tosfos, and we've touched upon most of the issues except for the last Tosfos on the page, which goes over there. I assume some of you have looked at it, but let's start from the top. We've sort of, again, addressed the issues for the most part, but let me get a reader. Ari, you want to? Achi yifr l'cha kasev keder shepar l'cha b'nevela. Oh, by the way, a note about kisveyad here. There are four kisveyad on Chulin. With regards to the question of whether or not l'ger b'nesina of the kochava b'mechira, whether that is here or not, so here the kisveyad are split. The manuscript, which is probably the oldest of the manuscripts, the Hamburg manuscript, I don't remember whether it does or doesn't have it. I want to say the Hamburg manuscript does have it. I think Munich, the famous Munich 95 manuscript, which we have in all Shas, which contains all Shas, I believe does not have it. And the other two Kisveyat are split, the two Vatican manuscripts. Abigail?
Some of the Rashi's, I don't remember now how it's split up, but some of the Rashi's in the other...
It's clear he has it. No?
It seems that in some places where we have it,
possibly.
But in our sugya here, it seems that Rashi might not have had it, because he quotes the rest of the pasuk in Rashi.
I don't see it in our Rashi. I don't see it in our Rashi here. Here you can't tell whether he has it or not. Okay, anyway, so the Kisveyad are split on this issue. All right, so let's start with that. Shiv Kalakos of Kedera Shapar Lahabinavay. Look ahead, Ari.
Parakol Shah, I'm reading Blom Masukma, the Rabbi Abo, Elik Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Huda, Itzuk the Dvarim Kitsava.
Okay, so the Rabbi Meir, it is not required for Dvarim Kitsavam, and therefore it's purely there to teach you that Nevela is Mutter Bahana, and therefore from that you can see that had it not told you that, in fact, would have been Aser. But Rabbi Yehuda then teaches you Dvarim Kitsavam.
Rabbi Yehuda Nakolan Milakel Tashachunasa, Usa Tamash Lakela, Via Tamash Lakela, Koli Sunjibatha.
So Rabbi Yehuda darshans this idea, if he holds like, but were to hold like Rabbi Abahu, that Stamachila is Mashma Isserhana, unless the Torah tells you otherwise, he would learn it from Trefa. Interestingly enough, if you look at the Maimra of Rabbi Abahu, as quoted in the Yerushalmi, Shlomo, do you remember? Did you look it up? Or Rabbi Abahu is quoted in the Yerushalmi, says, Acher yifrot lecha kasav kederach sheparat lecha b'nevela. I don't know if it quotes the pasuk. Uchashederach sheparat lecha be'ever menachai. I think it's backwards. What's the pasuk by Ever menachai? Uvasar basadeh trefa lo sochelu lakel tashlichanasa. What does that mean? You all say, oh, trefa, right? Because it says trefa. That's not what it means there. What? Mal means the limb was torn off. That's Eivir Menachai. Chazal may also understand trefa, or they get, but the pshuto shemikra, it's Eivir Menachai. Or the way Chazal described earlier in this Masech, the basar shiyatza chutz l'mechitzaso. So that's Eivir Menachai. So the Yerushalmi actually has to Rabbi Abahu providing two models for it, which is somewhat interesting, because then it should be Shnei Ksum Abayim Ke'echad, which then I'm not sure what it tells you at all. In fact, there's a third Kasav, which the Yerushalmi does quote in its discussion, but I have not gone through the Yerushalmi clearly enough to have put it together. What's the third Pasuk that's Matir? We mentioned this in Shir yesterday, just Derech Agav. What? Third, there's a third place in the Torah where the Torah spells out as an Israchila and spells out a Hetahana. What? Shor? No, Shor Nisko we assume is Aserbana. Chaylev. Chaylev and Kol Chaylev. Shor Vachesev O'ez Lo So Chaylev. Chaylev Nevelav. Chaylev Terefa Yasa Lachom Lachavachal Lo So Chluhu. So you have all three of those, which is interesting. Okay, Betosa says the way the Bavli does present it in Perikol Shah is that Rabbi Yehuda would learn the principle from Trefa. Vim Tomar.
Tomar, the Remeir, Nami, Hechi Yalav, Nami, below Sofin, Mashma, Isser Hana, the part head.
So yesterday in Shir we weren't really quite sure what exactly that meant. Lahaktim, Nesina, Lager, to Mechira, Lanachri. But whatever it does mean, that's the purpose of the Pasuk of the Torah teaching you this. And if that's the case, once again, the Pasuk is not miyutar to teach you that everywhere else Isser Achila is Aser Bahana, and only here because the Torah permitted Bahana. No, Adaraba. The reason, really, the Torah didn't have to tell you that it's Mutar Benesin Lager Lamechir Lanachri. So why then, for the purposes of Heter Ana, because why would you have thought it's Aser Bana? The answer is, of course you wouldn't think it's Aser Bana. The Torah only said, don't eat it. Why does the Torah have to tell you then? To teach you, Lahaktim Nesina Lager Lamechir Lanachri. Just as Rabbi Yehuda couldn't learn Rabbi Abahu's principle from this Pasuk because he needed the Pasuk to teach you Dvarim Kichsavam, the Dafka Nesina Lager and Mechir Lanachri, so too, perhaps Rabbi Meir would require the Pasuk to teach you Lahaktim Nesina Lager and Mechir Lanachri, even though they're both Mutter in both directions, still, to teach you Lahaktim, that's why you needed the Pasuk. So Tosa says, V'yishlomar,
V'yishlomar, the Misvara, Beloshim Kra, Haviyadina Mahakta. Ela hashta, the cause of Nesina Mechira, Lami Ba'alma, Isra Hana.
So now the Gemara said for Rabbi Meir, what prompted the Gemara to claim that for Rabbi Meir that the pasuk is lahaktim nesina lager lachir lanachri? The fact that the Torah said omachar lanachri and it didn't say umachar lanachri. Now that was proof for whom about what? That was proof for Rabbi Yehuda that it's dafka nesina lager lachir lanachri. That the fact that it said omachar lanachri, not Umachar lanachri. So Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Meir turns around and says, no, that O is lahaktim, not to be exclusive, but to suggest priority. So Tosa says, once the Torah has to tell you both, if it had said U, you would have thought dafka, that's why it tells you O lahaktim. But if the Torah had said nothing, if the Torah had just said lo shalchlu chol nevela, if it had said lo shalchlu chol nevela, so then on our own, we would have assumed that that naturally there should be hakdama. And therefore, why does the Torah come and tell you Nesina Lager Mechila Lanachri according to Rabbi Meir? Because otherwise, it would have been Aser Vahana'a. Okay. So that's how Tosas answers the question. Then he says, Vim Tomar.
Vim Tomar.
Okay, so why do we need both scenarios presented to us? One should be enough. Just tell us, and that should be the end of the discussion. And what do you learn from that? You learn from that, number one, the Torah has to teach you hetrana. Without that, it would be asabana. And number two, you could figure out on your own that you have to be makdim nesina lager to mechir lanachri. So why does the Torah have to spell out two scenarios of heter hana? So to that Tosa says, you would have assumed that it's only nesina lager which is mutter, not nesina la'akum which is mutter. And whose sheet is that, by the way? Rabbi Yehuda Avodah Zarah, that matnas chinam is aser to a goy. Now Tosa says, okay, but that doesn't end it matters. Vim Tomar. And it's a Kaval Chomer that it's mutter. You're allowed to give a matnas chinam to a goy. Certainly you can give it to a ger tosha where there's a mitzvah l'achayo. So? Wow. Very interesting. Tosfos. Wow. I thought Judaism wasn't a proselytizing religion. Well, maybe it once was, or somewhere, not anymore.
Well,
I understand. So to understand a little background for this, yeah, Shlomo, you should be thinking about this because you looked at the Yerushalmi a little bit.
I mean, it's Judaism may not be a proselytizing religion, but if someone came at one point and is accepting everything except for one,
okay.
So then maybe.
So Shlomo pointed out to me a Yerushalmi in Yefamos, which is sort of relevant to our sugya, but we're not going to explore, which is what exactly a Ger Toshav is mutter to do and aser to do. And there appear to be deus in Yerushalmi that the only thing a Ger Toshav is mutter to do that a Jew is not is eat nevelos. It's a very, very interesting Yerushalmi. Very interesting Yerushalmi. If that's the case, in light of that particular shita in the Yerushalmi, you certainly understand what Tosis is claiming as the Havam, and as what I would have said had the Torah only said Nesina Lagai. You would have said Nesina Lager Toshav would be Osir, because maybe even if he's not Mitzuvah, we want to encourage him to convert fully. Jason?
Aren't slave laws also different?
Slave laws? No, I'm not telling you Lamaisa what we hold. We hold that a Ger Toshav is only Mechuyev in the Sheva Mitzvahs. But the key is that he's Mekabel Lav Shelo Lav Ravod Zara. That's really the key one. But it's not really so clear. Right? The only thing you know for sure is that what is a Ger Toshav Mutter to do? Eat Nevelos, because it says so in the Pasuk. It's the only thing you know for sure. There's also a question, what about a Ger Toshav and Shabbos? So the Torah says in the Aseres Adibros, Lo sasecho melacha, ata umincha vitecha, avdecha v'amascha v'amtecha, v'gerecha asher v'sharecha. Now, of course, that seems a little bit strange. Who's that talking about? So there is a shita, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it's in the Gemara, I don't think it's in the Bavli, but I think that Rishonim who say this way, that Amira La'akum by a Ger Toshav is an Issa Daraisa. Amira La'akum generally is only an Issa Darabonon. But when the person's a Ger Toshav, then Amira La'akum is an Issa Daraisa. Where does that come from? I'm almost certain it comes from the Pasuk in Aseres Adibros. In other words, L'gercha Shev Sharecha is not the way we usually think that it means a Ger Tzedek. It means a Ger Toshav. Just like a behema, the Torah mentions behema. Is a behema mutter usher to do malach on Shabbos? Is the behema mitzuvah in the Lamites Malachas? The answer is obviously not. Right? Even the Chamor Shel Pinchas Ben Yoyah was not mitzuvah. You're not allowed to have your behema doing work for people. In the same way, a Ger Toshav, you can't have him doing work for you. That's another way of reading the Pasuk.
That's Ger Toshav, not a Ger.
But the Torah says, the Ger HaSher B'Sharecha. What does that term mean?
So then what about Ger V'Toshav, I don't know.
That's different. Don't bring me a riot from a poetic context. I'm quoting you from a legal context. And that's not Ger Toshav, that's Ger V'Toshav. I don't know what those words mean there.
So there's Ger Toshav and there's Ger
V'Toshav. No. Stop. Ger Toshav is not a biblical Hebrew expression. The term Ger Toshav is Chazal's expression. It may be modeled upon the pasuk by Avram, but the Torah's expression is Ger Hasher B'Sharecha, La Ger Hasher B'Sharecha Tet Nevachala. Pashtus doesn't mean someone who's not Jewish.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, so it's not our. I don't want to. I'm not going into the whole sugya of Geiris right now, but just be aware. There exists such a shita, so the havamina that we maybe wouldn't want a Ger Toshav to eat nevela biyadayim is very far. We shouldn't be misape le biyadayim is very far into the way we generally view Ger Toshav, the psak halacha, the way the Bavli views it, that a Ger Toshav has only seven mitzvahs. But if you view a Ger Toshav as having almost all mitzvahs, then you could even go a step further and say you would have thought that even if he's mutter ben nevela, you're not supposed to give it to biyadayim. So kamash malan a Ger Shav Sharecha t'nana v'achala. Avi. Lispi means to feed. Safi le ketura. What?
Does it come from the word like Yosef?
No. It's going to be Samach Peyud. The closest. Sifu, Shana al Shana. That means to sort of. I don't know if that's related to Yosef at all. It could be that it's once upon a time related to Yud Samach Pei, because there are Semitic languages do have two-letter roots, despite popular perception. So I don't know. But it means when the Gemara Ksubas uses the term, a child reaches a certain age, so you start stuffing him with Torah, Safi Le Keturah. Right?
Where is that Yerushalmi?
The Yushalmi about Ger Toshav is in the 8th parak of Yevamos, I believe. Shlomo, was it the 8th parak? Eighth. I mean, I know what it was, Yevamos, but 8th? Okay. Fine. Okay, the last part of Tosis we read already, which is about what it means lahakdim the sina lager to mechir lenachri, and Tosis says that basically, if you want to sell it, you're allowed to sell it. The Torah is talking about the typical case where a nevela was worth very little in Eretz Yisrael, so giving it away and selling it were more or less six of one, half a dozen of the other, and therefore the Torah says priority should be given to a ger. Fine, we read kedash apart lachab the nevela. Fine. Next, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dvarim Kich. Yes, I'm sorry, Ben.
Sorry, but wouldn't it have the same effect if the pasuk just wrote you should give it to the ger and the nafri, or the nafri, instead of the and sell it?
You're saying according to Tosos, since Tosos is trying to strip it down to the bare minimum, why not do that? Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to give you an answer, which is not really an answer. You could say once the Torah wanted to give a second case, they want to have a second person, they want to have a second scenario. That's the mindset Tosos seems locked into. You're saying, why should that be? As if you're really hung up on this minimalist approach, so why not simply, just say, Lager olanach, Lager asher b'sharecha olanachri titanena, or something like that. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. It is very interesting. One of the interesting things to study is both in legal context and in prose where biblical poetry sticks its head in. And I think, I know you certainly find it occasionally in legal materials, but the idea that the Torah will use something that is more literally or aesthetically pleasing, and you hear you have a nice chiastic structure, like Ger Asher B'Sharecha Titnena V'Achala O'Machor L'Nachri, right? Ger Titnena Machor L'Nachri, which undoubtedly the case is why the law is formulated that way, but obviously the Gemara, it doesn't answer your question because the Gemara is not satisfied. Tosis is certainly not satisfied with that. So why doesn't Tosis just strip it down? I don't know.
I mean, the final question is the Hanada we're talking about here, I mean, you clearly get Hanada from selling. Are you get Hanada from giving away?
So generally speaking, we say in many contexts that Mecher, Matonas Kemecher, except for when it's a matnas, ironically, except when it's a matnas chinam, which is at least how Rabbi Yehuda is interpreting here, but a matana in many contexts is assumed to be like a mecher, because if the person hadn't done any tova for you, or if you weren't expecting something at some point in return, not immediate and direct payment, you wouldn't be doing it. Not in all contexts. There are contexts in which mecher and matana are treated very differently. There's one famous context, which is the Gemara in Bava Basra and Cheska Sabatim about Talyuva Zabin versus Talyuva Yahiv. If I put a gun to your head and say, sell me your field, and you sell the field and I pay you money, the Mecher's Chal. If I say, give me your field, so then we say, Mecher's not Chal under normal circumstances, and you give it to me. Why? Because in one case we say, Agav Zuze, Gamar Amakne, right? Because even though you really didn't want to sell the field, between the power of persuasion and the money, you accept the sale. What? I think it has to be something that we considered shavio. I mean, a small discount maybe.
But the other person still violates an iser.
Correct. You still violate the iser of chamas, losach mode, and you violate losach. For sure, you violate losach mode, and you violate whatever the iser of chamas is. That might be losach mode. But if dame yayiv, the sale is actually binding. That's why the chacham had to be mafkia kiddushin when a man forces a woman to marry him. Because by normal, the assumption there is there's an exchange of value, an exchange of rights, and so on, and therefore there's a din of the chacham mafkia kiddushin. But the reason why we don't say it's not a kiddushin bechlal is because there is. It's more akin to a mecher than it is to a matana. Okay. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dvarim Kichsavan. Ari, I'm sorry. Want to continue? Third Tosfos.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dvarim Kichsavan.
Right, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that the Isser Matnas Chinam to a guy. Tomar.
Tomar.
Would we pass in that way? I think we. I. I think the Rambam probably does, and I would guess if it comes up at Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch does. So if you ask me, I would tell you that the din only applies to a guy that's Eino Gadur Bedarchei Hadassos, like the Meiri. I suspect that you would find many, not much to my pleasure, many Rabbanim who would say, no, of course it applies. The only thing is that typically speaking, it rarely comes up, because most, and this may be the question of eliminating things that are difficult through interpretation rather than, you know, they're both ways of eliminating through interpretation, but as opposed to an ideological interpretation, an overtly ideological interpretation, here it's a more practical interpretation. Giving the taxi driver a tip is not a matnas chinam, A, because, you know, we'll say, well, maybe you might get him, you might wind up his taxi again, and B, in that case, you might say it's really part of the expected wages, or you're paying for something if he did a good job driving for you, whatever, so that's really something that's really part of the job. It's not like Stam, you walked over to a guy, and you don't know from Adam, you hand him, money and walk away. And in most cases, we probably fair, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you give a tip, you're giving a tip for service that was provided. Are you technically mechuyev? No, but it's not a matnas chinam. It's not really bechinam. It's an exchange for something. So very rarely does it actually come up, I would say, the chaladeos. But anyway.
Just let him keep the roadkill.
and you obviously have to be mindful of Chilul Hashem as well. Because, you know, if you don't tip, because you say, oh, it's a matnas chinam to a guy, so the Chilul Hashem can be enormous, even if the guy doesn't know why you're not giving him the tip.
Betzala? I thought you were saying that when you give it to the ger, it's some sort of
So the question is, so you're going to ask the question, as Tosus doesn't hear, but Tosus does, I think, in Avodah Zarah, what about Mefarnes Amani Akim Amani Yisrael? What about that din? So I don't remember what Tosus answers. We might answer that tzedakah bichlal is different. But you might say tzedakah. I mean, again, I don't know. You have to look and see what Tosus says. I don't remember. You can give all sorts of explanations. And also, it's a special takana the Rabbanon because of Darkei Shalom. So you would argue there, it's not matnas chinam anymore, right? Because it's something that you're creating and gaining in exchange, which is that, you know, the non-Jews around you will like Jews because they give tzedakah, because they're generous people, and so on.
But here it's like a responsibility midoraisa to give this kind of tzedakah, isn't it?
If that's what lahaktim nesina leger to mechira lenachri means. But still, that's to the ger, that's not to the
guy. Gaining is you're following the mitzvah.
What's that?
Once you're following a mitzvah, it doesn't matter whether you're giving it away or not.
Well, no, but it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah tzedakah d'oraisa, the assumption
is... the rabbis.
What? I'm sorry?
Thank God for the rabbis?
No, it's not thank God for the rabbis.
They know what they're doing.
Okay. Anyway, so coming back... Ignore this conversation. Ben speak. Okay. Understood by only a few. So the assumption in that case, you know, you're asking a question now. If in fact la gerah sheva shrechet and avachla is tzedakah, then why would there not be mutter in the context of of?
It's actually kind of going back to Ben's point also, that is that called a hana'ah? It's not a
Ben. Other Ben, yes. Yes. Ben who doesn't speak and Ben speak, right? Okay. So really ask a different question. The first question you have to ask, the following issue, is it's something of a chiddush here. This is called hana. Now, as one might have argued, hana, especially if hana is learned from achila, is only, you know what hana is? I can take olive oil and I can dip my bread in it and eat it, or I can pour it into a salad and eat it, or I can take the olive oil and I can eat nana from it, bodily hana. One might have thought that hana really means hana from the guf hadavar, not from the underlying economic value. Once we say that there is clearly, Pashtus is Doraisa, Mechiras Hana as well. So I think Lager Sher B'Shechanena V'Achala, Nesina Lager, put aside the Tzedakah consideration, one would say that there is a certain Hana. In other words, you get a Karasato from the guy, and you're potentially going to get something from the Ger Toshav, he's your neighbor, and you get something, you get the intangible back. It's sort of the flip side of Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das, what is Geneva's Das? You don't steal a davar which is mamish. What you do is you elicit goodwill that you don't deserve. In other words, I know I don't like you. I don't want you to come for a Shabbos meal. I invite you to a Shabbos meal knowing that you can't come. That's one of the Gemara's examples of effect of Geneva's Das. I'm not talking about him. commit you generically. A one, okay? So in such a case, the point is, what do I get? I'm not stealing anything. The answer is I receive hakar satov in a certain sense, with goodwill, when I'm not entitled to it. In other words, if I really like you, and even if I know you can't come for Shabbos, so I'm expressing chiba v'ava v'yachva v'reish and so on, which is fine, because I really do genuinely like you, and I am creating shalom. But if I don't like you, and I'm just trying to ingratiate myself because I figure I'm going to get something, so that's called genevas das. So in effect, matan is the same thing. In other words, genevas das is to matana as genevas mamon is to mechira, in effect.
If there's some sort of tzedakah going on here, you bring that back in, it's kind of like you're doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah, so even if you get... even if it will result in some goodwill, that, you know, becomes less relevant.
So I want to make the following observation. There's a discussion in Sukkah and Nedarim whether mitzvahs lav lehanos snitnu or not. All that machlokas means is the following: is the kiyum hamitzvah, does the kiyum hamitzvah constitute a hana? Everybody agrees if I sit in the sukkah and it's a hot day and I'm shaded by it, everybody agrees that's called hana, right? If I eat matzah. Almost everybody. Okay, yeah, what?
He brings down I don't think it's him, but I think he brings down a shita there in Sukkot that's mitzvah slava hen is going to mean that any hana you get is not considered.
So pashtus is not so. That's least of all. So I thank you. I've never heard of that shita. But when you look at the Rishonim and the Dharam who discussed the issue, so it's they certainly assume, again, I don't know this day, that getting hana, no one would say, for example, if you eat matzah, maybe somebody would say, almost no one would say when you eat matzah, if you get hana from it, that mitzvah slav lehanos. No, if you mudah mishas beferish, if you mudah hana, if the nether's chal, it's osur to eat the matzah. That's hana from the matzah. So it's hard to say. Just because, in other words, the kiyum mitzvah staka. Let's say I fill mitzvah staka with something from which I mudah hana. The kiyum mitzvah is not a hana. But if I'm nene because I get something from the person, the ani to whom I give the tzedakah to, so that would constitute a hana. You know, if what I'm getting is generally considered hana, so the fact that I fulfill the mitzvah doesn't do away with that hana. So the real question you could ask
it... You may or may not get hana from this. So if I tell you, you have to do it...
But the Torah is matir et b'chol ofanim. Even if not in every case that I give tzedakah, the Torah doesn't say only give tzedakah in a way that I can't be nene from. See, what you really should be asking me is that if you're to read... Titnana v'achala really is mitzvah tzedakah, which I'd rather not read. But if you're going to read it that way, then why is it not mutter? Why is it not mutter for a guy as well? Did the Torah, in other words, the Chachamim, assuming that matnas chinam is asur to a guy, and that so what is the takana then of darkei shalom, of mefarnes ani yakim ani yisrael? Is the takana simply that? I would have said the following: Nimnei Darkei Shalom is why it's not a matnas chinam. But just because there's Darkei Shalom doesn't mean mechuyif to do it. My chiyav mitzvah tzedakah is only to a fellow Jew. A guy is not obligated to give me tzedakah. I'm not obligated to give him tzedakah. I'm responsible to my own family members. So the Chachamim or Misaki know that your responsibility should extend to all members of your society. But matnas chinam it wouldn't have been anyway. Is that what it means? But if in our context. If you were to say that titnena v'achala is a mitzvah staka, and you learn from this pasuk, or this is one of the sources for the fact that matnas chinam is also l'goy, it means it's an issa daraisa to give tzedakah to goy, not just that you're not mechuyev to do so. In which case, the takana d'rabbanan and mefarnes ani akum is oker davar min haTorah, which you could get around with davar shebamamon, but this really strange. Shlomo?
It could just be that there were no non-Jews, meaning it's talking about a context where the only people living in Eretz Yisrael there. So, yes,
you can't say that unless you play, because the Torah speaks about like Ger Shem Shefarecha Titnana V'Achala Omachor L'Nachri. There are two people. There's a Ger and there's a Nachri.
Because the Nachri comes by to do trade, you know, to trade, but he'll go back to his
land, right?
His own land. But the Ger Toshav is...
How do you know a Nachri comes from another land?
It's clear in the time of the Gemara there were pagan non-Jews.
Forget it. Not Tomat 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 Torah. How do you know? I'm asking what the term Nachri means. V'gam el ha-nachri,
a stranger
from Tefillah Shlomo, and he says Me'eretz Rechoka, I believe.
Yes, he does.
Right?
Because
you were either Ger Toshav, you were a Jew, or you were a dead Kenani. Yeah, I mean theoretically.
Well, except for the Kenani, who's the traitor.
At least theoretically.
It's just talking about meaning. was going on back then.
They called them
poor non-Jews who were ger toshav. So therefore, you gave it to them for free, but the Nachri could afford it because he's coming from.
No, no, but you're taking. No, no. Except, but here's the problem. In other words, so you're saying it's not that it's no, but
it
no,
them.
But the Gemara assumes that you learn from this, Rabbi Yehuda, that titnena lenachri is not an option. Why not? If titnena leger toshav means staka, then titnena lenachri would also mean staka. What about the poor nachri who got robbed on his way to visit the Holy Temple, right, and to offer up his prayers to check out the God of the Jews, right? So I'd rather not read it as mitzvah staka. It's interesting, but I don't think that's the case.
I think that,
why would you read it that way? It's a beautiful chiastic structure. La ger asher b'sharach tinan v'achala o machor l'nachri. Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
Isn't that the middle piece? That's what it hinges on?
There's
a
chatzal
under
the olive.
Yeah, it's not infinite. What?
No.
No, it's future.
What do you mean?
The break in the pasuk is in the trough.
Yeah, the verb, the grammar's not going to help you. Titnen on achala are both.
Machor
is an infinitive.
So it's ambiguous. So it could be going on the ger.
It doesn't really fit the trap.
Well, that's not a riot. The trap is reflecting rabbinic
interpretation. And then what does he do?
But that's not how the
trap
says.
No, I know.
I'm trying to think
why I think you're wrong. Why that can't be.
Grammatically, it could work.
So it's either because it's not the way I've ever thought about it until now, or because you're wrong. One of the two.
Well, the chiastic structure.
What's that? You will, but he's going to argue to me that it's not a perfect chiastic structure either, because Tinana Vachala is one, but Omachor Lenachri, unless Vachala is understood. Yes, it is a Tzivoy. He's right. No, it's the infinitive absolute form, but it's used like Zachar Siyom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. The question is, what does that mean here? You can't tell. It could be, you could translate it as an imperative.
When it comes with O, you expect it to be a Tzivoy. Once you have an O, you already have an optional.
All right, I don't know. I can't figure it out right now whether or not you're wrong or whether I just don't like it. I don't know. fine. Okay. Anyway, so basically, matnas chinam to a guy who certainly l'chol adeos, if it's a guy who's not gadur b'darchei hadassos, to borrow the Mir's language, is osur. Okay, we pasuk in that way. So now Tosus asks the question. Tomar, Vatanan. There was one way around it would be to say Rabbi Yehuda holds it's aser.
Right.
But based upon what we saw there, Rabbi Yehuda holds, I think, Giranasha's Mutter Bahana, and the whole discussion with the Sugya there in Chafbezim and Aleph, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda would be maskim to this. Everybody agrees, Shaleach Adam Yerach Nachri. Right, not the Tosefta here, the Tosefta of Avodah Zarah. If it's Shcheino, it's Arehu Kamochro, though. And then this goes back to your question, right? In other words, if it's his neighbor, it's like selling to him, even though he's giving it to him. Why? Because good something makes good neighbors.
That's a pretty big cool.
What's that?
That's a pretty big cool.
Well, that's my observation about of doing away with the din through interpretation. It's not the Tosefta says it.
Right.
That's interpretation which ends up narrowing, severely constricting the effect of prohibition. Because let's be honest, guys, how many of you just go find over a perfect stranger in the street and decide to give them a gift?
Well, now they have the nice campaign.
yeah.
Or is it like pay it forward or something like that?
No,
okay.
You don't want to know the
even
answer to that question.
Even paid forward is not bechinam, right? You expect to create a better world. That's Darkei Shalom. Okay.
Then nothing is not bechinam. So why would they have an iser?
Well, that's the point. But in other words, Shechino already starts to.
But why create iser which you can never? Is it physically impossible to commit?
I don't know. Rabbi Yehuda may not have thought so. I don't know. Rabbi, what were Rabbi Yehuda's political leanings, by the way? I don't ask that question, Machinim. You should know.
Well, what nowadays was, we have a global
community. What was Rabbi Yehuda's? What were his political leanings? It's a very important Gemara you should know. Assuming that we can treat the Agada as purely historical, which I don't have a reason actually to doubt in this case. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. What? No. No. He was pro-Roman, is correct. There was the conversation in Bamei Madlikin of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, and Rabbi Yosef Bar Chalavta. So according to and whether or not it's to be taken literally, I suspect it is at least reflective of their general political orientations. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai praised the Romans for all the things that they built, the bridges and the roads and so on. And Rabbi Shimon said, sure, they build the roads to Miboshev Zonos, they build the bridges to take tolls. And Rabbi Yosef Bar Chalavta said nothing. And of course, when Yehuda Ben Gerim, you know, was Malshin or told over, was in Malshin, he told over the story and it got back to the Romans. They decreed Shimon Bar Yochai should be killed, and that's why he ran away and hid in a cave. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai should be promoted because he praised the Romans. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chalavta, who was silent, should go into exile. It's a favorite metaphor, of, you know, in terms of structure of Chazal, right? You know the other one that this brings to mind, of course. Permit the tangent.
I think
there's a similar Agada by. Yes,
Eov,
Yisro, and Bilam, and you know that the Agada stems from the fact that the word Yatzecha only appears twice in Tanakh, once by Bilam, Lecha Yatzecha, and once in this week's parasha by Yisro, and by Eov. Well, you can find the word Eitzah there, but the word Yatzecha appears nowhere else. Paro had three advisors. Yisro told them, don't touch the Jews, you'll get whatever it is, and ended up fleeing to Midian because he didn't want to have any involvement. He was rewarded. Bilam, you know, gave Paro Eitzahs to crush them. He's probably part of the Havanus Chachma Lo Eitzah. And therefore, Bilam eventually was killed. And Eo, who remained silent, was suffered. Right? It's the same type of a thing. I do assume it does probably reflect whether Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm not going to suggest even the possibility that he wasn't actually in the cave for 24 years. But even if he wasn't, clearly it's a reflection of his very anti-Roman orientation. And I assume that, no reason to doubt that. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai certainly was not misanthropic towards the Romans, and nonetheless he's the author of Matnas Chinam. So why create a prohibition army that he's then not going to enforce? I don't know what he thought the scope was.
Is that judgment?
I mean, like Chazal used the Brisa a certain way, and it's sort of like a very easy way to use the Brisa. It's all possible to resolve this question by saying Rabbi Yehuda only meant his thing to apply to the Kela for whatever reason.
You want to completely disagree with the Bavli's interpretation and linking to the Braisa. But why is it Dafka Lager Benesina Nachrim Mechira? What does that mean? Why are you not allowed? It's just a Xeris HaKasa by Nevela?
But that's the same question of Lahakim Nesina Mechira, or is there like a specific seaboard to give to Dafka from?
Maybe. Okay. Anyway.
Could that drash be traced back to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai?
Can what?
The drash, the EO drash, the three advisors.
I have no idea.
Because that'd be interesting.
It's not, you know, you don't want to trace it to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai because it's not that Agada in Bar Madlikin is not the part of Shimon Bar Yochai. I don't know who the author. I don't know who the who's the Baal HaMeimer of that particular story. But you want to see if those two compare. Yeah.
What would be the thing with non-Jewish charity?
So I think that the issue is still the same. It's still in Dark Yeshalom. What's that?
There's nothing about Chiyuv, like something,
a
non-Jewish organization.
Yeah. Well, that's different, because that's not only for non-Jews. Right? Jews get sick, too, and need cures.
That's theoretically, let's say they would only be supporting non-Jews.
Yeah, so I think there's still an Inyan Mefarnes. Look, I don't want to talk about Hilchot Tzedaka now. I think that the Din of Mefarnes and Maniyak Neso still applies there. The question, how much Tzedaka do you give and how you weight it and so on, that's a different discussion. It's all.
The Isser would apply if you know you're giving land or weapons to, you know, other nations that are not going to reciprocate any goodwill for whatever presence of the Isser you might give them.
So we're not the issue without even touching and taking any political positions here. the assumption in the discussion of land for peace is not over the issue of matnas chinam. The assumption is if you receive peace in exchange, it's certainly mutter. The question is, well, you do receive peace. The real issue that has to be discussed is the other one,
Chanaya
Chanaya Bekarka. That's a different question. Well, that would partially depend on a... Again, that's
weapons,
a...
Though.
weapons is always a bad idea to give to evil people.
It's like talking about donating weapons, let's say, like to the Sudanese People's Liberation Army.
Of course.
Something.
Well, of course that's us. It's a mission of Odezara.
Right.
Mission of Odezara. I mean, let's not say anything, but I know that there's some people are sneering already because, you know, there's a prominent donor of Yeshiva who's a weapons dealer. I don't know if he only gives it.
That's Mechira. That's Mother.
No, so no. There's a separate issue in Mishnayos and Avodah Zarah about giving dangerous things to Goyim. Right? Because they turn around and use them to kill people. So I can't really tell you to whom this weapons dealer deals weapons. What's that? I have no idea. I have to tell you, it makes me profoundly uncomfortable. But maybe he only sells weapons to the good guys. I don't know. Okay, anyway. I have to tell you, I don't want to tell you that there are no weapons dealers in this world who are good people, but I haven't yet really heard of one. You know, yes, and someone had to oppress the Jews in Egypt, and look what God did to Paro last week. So the fact that there's somebody going to do it doesn't mean, you know, it's kind of like the Noda Behuda said about hunting. A famous tshuva, the famous tshuva of the Noda Behuda, when he was asked whether it's mutter to hunt for sport. And basically he goes through Baltashas, he goes through Tzar Balei Chaim, he goes through the issue of Sakana, and he says basically none of these Yisurim hold water. But he says, what kind of a Jewish person hunts?
Someone who needs a struggle.
I think it's in the same gather. That's not hunting for sport anymore. Weapons, it's pastish. Okay.
Even
whatever. Okay. Anyway, so that's Tosos Amat Naschinam. The last Tosos I want to at least try to finish in the sugya before we move on is Ari. Did you see this Tosos?
The last one.
The last one. Okay. So the last Tosos is really tangential to the sugya. I want to read it quickly, but it's at least touches upon a personally favorite Gemara of mine, which I don't know exactly what to do with, about Chamei Shimon Groshe and the Mechreya. The Tosfos, our Gemara had Rabbi Meir Darshan, and Titnena V'Chala O'Machor L'Nachri. So they Darshan the word twice. So the Gemara Tosfos says as follows: Mashma.
Mashma di lav o hava mi titnena O'Machor Ager Dilael.
As Rabbi Yehuda would have been modeh,
yeah,
that if not for the O, you would have double dipped on both sides. It would have been titneno mahor and titneno mahor. So Tosa says.
The
basre. The Torah says, "Es kaspecha lo siten lo b'neshech, uvmarbis lo siten ochlecha." So we read it as kaspecha lo sitain lo b'neshech uvmarbis b'neshech uvmarbis lo sitain ochlecha. There's, by the way, another great example of a chiastic legal statement. Which, by the way, I think Dr. Oman likes to use this intro. This is a Tosfos at the beginning of Ezu Neshech, who claims that the Gemara in Ezu Neshech says that Neshech and Tarbis are the same thing. So why do you have it? So Tosfos says because it's aesthetically pleasing. So, you know, it's true. It's nice to have
one is
the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, one may be the Raisa, one may be the Rabbanan. But the Gemara says that in the Torah itself, they're both in the Torah.
Yeah,
so you can't say that. And so Tosfos points out that aesthetically pleasing scripture is a value in Tanakh. Neshech could be the effect on the lova, and Tarbis is the money itself is going. Well, you could say all sorts of drushes, but anyway, according to Chazal, that really Apidin, Neshech, and Tarbis are the same thing. So then here you have simply a nice poetic pasuk: "Es kas bechal lo sitein lo b'neshech ufamarbis lo sitein ochlecha." Fine. So there the Gemara darshan is double also, but the tema. So do you read it? So why not? So why would someone disagree there? So Tosa says. Okay. In other words, you can't say takum pnei zaken. You can only say takum ipnei zaken, and you can't say v'hadartam ipnei seva. Doesn't make sense grammatically, and therefore there's a shita that says if it violates the natural sense of grammar, on its own. But obviously, in our pasuk, it's not titnena v'achala, titnena v'achala. But the point is, it could have been titnena lager shabasherecha, titnena v'achala o machor. And same thing could have been in the reverse. Whereas there, one Tana disagrees because of the language, the grammar doesn't work. Okay, v'im tomar. Become. So there are five psukim. One was in last week's parsha. That was Machar. Se'es is by Kayin. Halo imte tiv se'es, I think. Machar is last week's parsha. Se'es im lo se'tiv la pesach hatas reveitz. Machar is Machar. Vayomar shel Yeshua becharlanu anashim v'tsehi lachem ba'amalek Machar. Or do you say Machar anochini tzeva rosh hagiva? Then you have Mishuka De Arur. Is Arur. They're not in order, interestingly enough. I don't know why. Arur Apam Kiyaz Vevrasam Ki Kashasa. Or do you say Shimon Velevi Achim Klei Hamas Sodam Atan Shemichata Kivi Apam Harguish Uvirt Sonam Ikru Shar? Do you read it Shar Arur? Or you read Arur Apam Kiyaz? Mishukadim is in Parshas Truma. Uvam Nora Arba Ogivim. Mishukadim Kafta Reo Fracheha. That might be the only one that even comes close on a pshat level to being ambiguous. And finally, Vikam is a very famous pasuk because it's one of the raya's to Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. Vayomer Hashem HaMoshe, Hinecha Shochev Ma'avosecha, Vikam Ha'am Hazeh V'zana Acharei L'Hinechar Aretz. Do you read it, Vimcha Shochev Ma'avosecha, Kama, Vikam Ha'am Hazeh, or do you read it, Vimcha Shochev Ma'avosecha, Vikam? Okay? That's one of the raya's the Gemara Chelek has at the beginning, the Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. It's not pshat. That's for sure. Anyway, what's that? How would you read the Uvir Tzonam Ikru Shar Arur? Apam Kiyaz Vevrasam Ki Kashasa. I mean, I guess you could read. You could really strain. Okay. So I don't know. You read Ha'am Hazev Zonah. I don't know how you're going to read it. None of them. Mishukadim's the only one I wonder whether really could be ambiguous apipshat. So the Gemara there makes a claim that the five psukim are in lemechrea. The first obvious question is, why did they just look at the trap? Did they have trap?
Well,
yes, they did.
It may have been oral.
They did not have written symbols for the trap. Symbols for the trap did not first come into being until the same era that written nekudos came into being, sometime in the period of the Balei Masorah in the second half of the first millennium. The system of written trap, what both the symbols and their names, was not fixed early on. It's relatively fixed now, but they changed over time. My favorite example is the Tlisha. If any of the Bali Kriya wonder why the Bali Masara decided to impose torture upon you and put the Tlisha Gedola before the word and the Tlisha Katana at the end of the word, leaving you, of course, not to know where the accent is. The answer, the only one that they used double, that the Bali Masara used double, was the Pashta, to tell you whether it's Mila El or Mila Ra. But the reason that came about, you know why by the Pashta they do it that way? Because it looks the same as a Kadma. What about by the Tlishas? The answer is the original Tlisha was just a circle, and therefore the only way to distinguish it, Rebbe Breyer thing points this out, the only way to distinguish it was to put one before the word and one after the word. Only later did they add the little legs to it, so that's how you can tell the difference between Tlisha Gadol and Tlisha Katana. So the written symbols, and some of the written symbols also, later, an example that Pankow was written about is the Zarka, which once upon a time originally looks like, I think if you look in Leningrad, looks like a candy cane, and later turns into a snake, the squiggle, which is why he comments about, the Zohar's comments about Avinu Mesba Midbar, which has a Zarka on it, and the Zohar Darshan's based upon that Zarka, something about a snake and so on. So he has a short piece about that. And of course you could say that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai knew that when the Zarka would be revealed, you want me to say that? That we knew when it would be revealed, that at that point the shape would be a Zarka. Let me put it through this way, Shlomo, this way we say. I have my own opinions, but if you believe that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai really wrote the Zohar and it was hidden away like that, you can believe that just as well. I'm pretty perfectly honest. I come from a different vantage point, but anyway. So this written symbols for the trop come later. But how do I know that there were trap? How early do I know that there was trap? So Chazal attributed it to the time of Ezra, which is perfectly plausible that if they were reading the Torah, they had some type of nigun. And you certainly know for sure that Piskei Tamim have to exist by the time of the early Amoraim, whoever's interpreting the Pasuk and Ezra that way. It certainly exists by the time of the Doresh, even if it doesn't exist in the time of the Medrash. But either way, I have no particular reason to assume there wasn't some kind of trap, even as soon as they're reading the Torah. It's a very natural thing to do. But that doesn't mean that the trap was as fixed as we have it. And the trap may have still been in a fluid state, something more of a fluid state. Just as the music certainly has, you know, a greater degree of fluidity, the trup itself may have been such. The trup itself also is not, to the best of my knowledge, attributed to being Mycenae, actually. And the trup itself reflects interpretation. To give one example, and I will not go on at length at this, and we could spend hours talking about this, take Arami Oved Avi. Those of you who know what the trup on Arami Oved Avi is know that it clearly reflects the interpretation of the Baal HaGadah. Right, Arami Oved Avi. And Arami, something about trying to destroy my father. Ibn Ezra and Rashbam both understand the Pasuk, a wandering Aramean was my father, and therefore the trup really should have been Arami Oved Avi, Mapach Pashta, not a Pashta, Munach Sakef Katon. They're interpreting not according to the way the Baalei Masorah, or the trup that the Baalei Masorah preserve. That's fine. There are a lot of cases where the trup changes the meaning, and so trup reflects a certain interpretation. Okay, so anyway, clearly you see from the Chamesh Mikraos Sheein LaMechreah is they couldn't simply, you know, turn to the trup to say that this is obviously the Machria, either because they didn't have trup, or more likely just because I'm sure they did have trup, but the trup was not as rigid a state, it wasn't as fixed, and it's authoritative, so just because you have the trup one way doesn't mean that we have to put the trup there, and therefore it could be the Pasuk could be read differently. Okay, was there a question from somewhere here? Chaim.
Yeah, I was just saying, doesn't the Gemara talk about somewhere where, like, not using your hand to signal the trap?
I don't think it's the Gemara. I think there are some sources that talk about people, right. You know, it's
something like not wiping yourself with a certain hand because you use that hand to show the signs.
That sounds like not wiping yourself with your hand that you tie your tefillin with. That's a different, but that's might be. I don't know. That's probably from the Gemara already. I don't know where the Gemara is. Maybe it's a Shabbos.
I always heard it was because he used one of the hands of the right hand, like the signs.
I have to tell you, that sounds like there is. If you look in Dotan's article in Encyclopedia Judaica, he does make reference to hand signals related to trap, but that's already late. As we know, there are early enough sources of the Chazal, it's clear they had trap, even if it's not fixed and set, they have trap. Okay. Fine. Satosis continues. Satosis says, what about those psukim? Satosis says, so what do you do with that A? Why don't you have it be both? That would make everybody happy. So you get both. And a pasuk that you can read. Okay. So anyway. Isi is the one who says, and yet he double darshans in Kiddushin by Takum Vadarta. So Tosa says, the koi achad duchta, and therefore you don't necessarily double it. As when you have two verbs, I don't know if this is intuitive way, we would read adaraba, you know, we would read, you know, a scribal principle would be dotography, and so if the word is written once, even though it should be read twice, when you have two verbs already, then I would say share the wealth. But okay, it's a different way of sharing the wealth, okay? It's a Republican versus Democratic, you know? You know, is shali shalach b'shalach shali, or shali b'shalach shali and shalach b'shali shalach? I don't know. Anyway, fine. That was just for Ari. Okay, Stern, I don't mean to make you feel left out, but he's my sparring partner. Go ahead. Okay, so then you have a Gemara. This is a very interesting pasuk, actually. L'kacha koin midam hachatas be'etzba'o v'nosan. Al karnos hamizbeach or whatever follows. De'ika demoke etzba ashalafanav avilokach. You have to do lakicha be'etzba. What is lakicha, by the way? In that context, it should be kabbalah sadam, and asan should be zrika sadam. V'lo anasina shalacharav. V'ika. That's one way of reading it. V'ika. Go ahead. Which is Pshuto Shemikra in the way the Trump read. V'nasan, and that's what Tosis will say, that's Pshat. V'nasan, I'm sorry, the first one is Pshat. V'nasan, so but some read it Pe'etzba O V'nasan. V'ika Demogila. So why do you have three deos there if after all I just established when you only have one word and it can only go in one half, then you only read it to one half. So what's going on there, especially with the Manda Omar, who's Moki La Tarvayu, who does double it, even though it's only one word. So now the question comes back on the Chamesh Mikrosh and Mechreya, why not double them? So he says, wait, does he say, what, the Pashtei Dekra Mashba Tzvei Alekicha Delekamei? Yeah, oh, Lekamei, that's before it, right? No, it's Lekacha Kor Midama Chatos Be'etzba O. Okay. In other words, you have such a precedent elsewhere where clearly etzba is going on in the Sina when it follows it, of course. V'nasan be'etzba, no, not be'etzba v'nasan. V'hashta pli, they argue as follows. D'chad moki. Okay, so one learns it, reads it kipshuto. The other one says, no, but I have a pasuk, since be'etzba o is technically ambiguous, even if it leans one way more than the other, but I have another pasuk that's beferish on the other, so therefore, yomot sasim and amiforash. Velo boi nami, and all, so why not do both? Velo boi nami.
Velo boi nami lo kume alekicha, velo shayich lekicha a'etzba, ala be'de'eved ozen l'svasa mizrach.
So lakicha be'etzba isn't relevant unless you make a handle for the on the edge of the mizrak. Okay. Now the truth is lakicha normally, as best of my knowledge, I didn't look up the Gemara. Kabbalah always must be done mikli. Kabbalah done in your hands is not kabbalah. So Tosa says the only way lakicha could go on the kli lefi pshuto is if you made a handle for the kli. So therefore he doesn't want to darshan it. Now, what about the guy who darshans both? He wants both. Okay, it's not really satisfactory, but this is sort of, you know, the sort of groping for an answer approach. This is really sort of classic. I know, granted, there's no room here, I think, for a conceptual approach here. But this, I think, is the opposite of what we would call the conceptual approach to learning, where you sort of. I don't want where you sort of grasp one, deal with one case at a time, and find some type of a chiluk, rather than trying to create an overarching structure. In this particular case, I don't think even the Lamdanim are going to try to make any kind of conceptual solution to this. Although, you never know. All right, v'tzarech iyun. Yeah, so there are a lot, there are apparently many psukim, I don't know how many, where we doresh a word b'fan l'fanav u'l'acharav, and will all those really adhere to the rule that Tosis has laid down? You know, how can you distinguish them from Chamish Mikrosh and L'mechreya? Okay, fine. All right, I know this is not such a lamdash Tosis, but nonetheless, yes. Not sure. I believe it's hello MKT Se'ace.
What is the Se'ace that needs to go there? It says Se'ace.
So I'll tell you, it would have two different meanings. Hello MKT Se'ace means again. You will be forgiven. No Se'a yeah. Avon Ofesha. And then if he goes on the second one, it's going to be to carry your sin in terms to suffer the punishment. Bein lo Yisab Avon Ha'av, and so on. Did you use that passage? It's going to be in Yoma.
So
right?
The Se'ed is said for both times?
Halo im Teitiv Se'es, v'im lo Se'tiv. Well, no, Se'es im lo Se'tiv. You still have a Vav there. It's the same problem with Vizana. No?
Yeah, he just says, sorry.
Halo im Teitiv
Se'es, im lo Se'tiv. Slichahu? Oh, Se'es im lo Se'tiv, v'lo
Yeah, okay, fine. So he doesn't use the CSF, not with. No Se'avon Mafesha.
Halo im Teitiv.
Okay, I'm not sure whether that means. Well, I don't know what noseavon means. Does it mean to forgive sin or to carry it for you? Okay. Anyway, gadol avonim in the so. See, Targum translates mila mishpat, forgive. Okay.
There are eight different ways to interpret that verse.
Thank you.
But what does that have to do with the word se'eit?
I teach in the Bible too.
There's only one way to read it.
Fine. It's a famous question. I understand. It's a famous. That's one of the. That's a famous question on intro exams. You know.
So what? Sound
familiar to some of you? What are the two ambiguities in this verse? Some of you brings back echoes. Two lexical ambiguities in this verse, right? I always get the question: what does lexical mean? Okay, fine.
As opposed to bracket.
No matter how clearly I try to teach that pasuk when I teach it, some people just don't get it. Okay. Anyway. It's my failing as a teacher. That's the way it is.
But the word se'eit, there's only one way to read it.
What do you mean?
Haloim teitiv, se'eit. If you...
No, you could read it haloim teitiv, good! If the im, and se'esim lo se'tiv. Forget the vav part. The vav part is the same part as the vav.
What does that mean, se'eit ve'im?
I forget, then what does it mean, what does it mean, ha'am hazeh v'zona? If it says ha'am hazeh, Zono, yes, it's be nice. What do you do with the vav that starts the clause there? I don't know. Stop asking the questions. Let's move on. Okay. Now, I want to now just come back as we begin to look at the next Gemara to come back to the question of the word toeva, which we discussed a little bit yesterday. Again, not the specific what is a toeva, it's not a toeva, but what is the drasha of Ravashi here? So Rav Ashi said, Kol sheti avti lach, harehu beval tochal. So what does Rashi say on this? I'll accept another reader. Or you know what, Ari, you can just finish up.
Kol sheti avti lach, kol she asarti lach, v'tavo l'yisachim.
Okay. How do you know? So he interprets the word to'eva as richuk. How do you know that? Is there a biblical argument for this? What's that? What's the biblical argument? I know a different argument, actually. What's that? Shakates to Shaktenu, but that won't help you. Yeah, I know, but the question is, what does Shakates to Shaktenu mean? That's where does it come? What's the connection between something that's misuav and miruchak? Yehuda?
Doesn't the verb quote fresh bet, isn't that used a lot in your kedoshim or amrimot in terms of karayah?
Lo tikrav the galot?
Yeah.
So the opposite of karav is rachak. That's where you get it from.
Okay, but not, except for mishkav zachor, I guess that you have toi, kias kala toivosa el. Or something like that. But I have a better, very more simple observation. Any of my Targumim students, stop and think for a second. What is the Targum of Toeva? Mirachaka.
And why does that have to do with a biblical argument?
I said it's not a biblical argument, but I want to know why Rashi just assumes, uses the word racho. I want to say that somehow there's a clear biblical indication, but I know you have to look and see whether or not there's ever a parallelism between Toeva and Rachok. Nothing comes to mind immediately. In other words, Lo Sisaeva Domi Ki Achichahu Lo Sisae Mitzri is not, you don't have Rachok there, right? The opposite of that is Yavo.
I mean, except for Kiyah, I don't know the implication of
Kiyah.
Was that like Kikarovu or something like that?
It's not
but what about Kigerha Yisabi Artso?
But again,
it means that it's a reason. It's not. In other words, Lo Sisaeva Domi is not the opposite. Being Messiah is not the opposite of Gerha Yisabi Artso. So it's not the opposite of Kiyachicha. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, so Rashi says, anything which I prohibited for you, so that you should be Messiahivit and you should stay away from it. Go ahead. Harehu bival tochal. Go ahead.
Harehu bival tochal olamit b'chol inyanin shehu bein shabbat.
Olamis. So the first thing Rashi says is that it is forever prohibited.
B'chol inyanin shehu.
Under all circumstances, namely.
Bein shabbat b'avera, bein shalom b'avera, k'gon al yedei katan al yedei olik b'chavim. Me'akrit shetahat yilach aser. high harry te avti lach leisrachei mi bishulo sholo lashlom yach.
So Rashi adds in, says two things here. He says two things here. And the question is, why? What is he? Firstly, what does he say? What does Kol Shetiachti L'Harei Matocha imply? But what is? Forget the specifics of Basar B'Chalav. There are two things stated here. One is the first word, Olamis. What might Rashi be excluding here? I'm sorry? Maybe. Except for, that would then raise the question of whether or not Chametz Shalav Pesach really is awesome in the rice or not. That's a machlokas. So I don't. So that, what else might Rashi be raising? So I don't know if he knows this, but the Yerushalmi Pesachim asked the question, and this leads very nicely into the second part, asked the question about Chadash. V'lechem v'karli v'charmel lo sochlu aretzem yamazeh. Why isn't that Aser b'hanah? Chadash is not Aser b'hanah. Chadash is Aser, Chadash in Eretz Yisrael, for sure, is Aser b'achila.
It's a davar sheish lo matirin.
It is a davar sheish lo matirin, and the Yerushalmi doesn't use that expression, but then the fact that it has heter means what? Well, what does the second statement in Rashi mean? Here, come on, the way the Lamdanim here. The second part of Rashi. B'chol inyan shu b'ein shababaver b'ein shalabaver k'gana adei katan o adei akum, who might have cooked basa b'chalav, and there's no iser for them to cook it, so they don't violate an iser. Le'achar sh'tiyafti lach osir, v'areyu tiyafti lach l'sra... All right. What is Rashi saying there? In two famous words of Lamdas? It's an iser cheftza. It doesn't stem from... I mean, it's more than that, but it doesn't stem from the fact that an Aveira was prohibited, but it stems from the very essence of the object. It stems from the very essence of the object. Something that is not permanent in Isser cannot be inherently prohibited. If it has a heter built in, like Chadash, you can't say that the Chefta is fundamentally, and I don't care about Isser Chefta versus Gavra, but you're fundamentally not looking at something that is intrinsically Aser. There's a restriction attached to its usage. But it is not inherently... You can't have something that's a toeva tomorrow and not a toeva... A toeva today and not a toeva tomorrow. Can't be. If something is fundamentally repugnant, it remains fundamentally repugnant as long as it is there. Shalom?
How many things are there that somebody doesn't actually create that thing and that it's only a temporary... Most of the things we think of as temporary stream are things that happen on their own, like or no line.
Kilayim can happen on its own. Now, the only difference is it's an interesting question.
No, I'm saying from the opposite perspective. I'm saying all the things that are temporary. Meaning, what would Rashi be adding by saying that? Because all the things that people do to make them happen are always, by definition, it's only things that happen sort of without human intervention.
Lav dafka. I'll give you another example that maybe Rashi wanted to anticipate and exclude from this. Masa Shabbos might be mutter after Shabbos, although that the whole distinction might only be the Rabbanan. Might only be the Rabbanan. It's the ability to distinguish between on Shabbos and after Shabbos may only be the Rabbanan. But I'm not sure what other examples Rashi might have in mind, but I think his point is that something that is inherently usur will always be inherently usur, and it doesn't matter how it came about. Now, something that is a toeva is such, and it doesn't matter the circumstances in which it came about. And therefore, when it comes to bishul basar b'chalav, once it was cooked that way, and the Torah describes it as a toeva, or presumably as misa'ivit, therefore, it's never going to be mutter. Bitzalah?
So, olamis, in Rashi, is it always going to mean a time issue, or could it mean, like, universally to every person? That's not just us for the person who cooked it, or...
I think it means time. I mean, I think it is us to everybody else, but I think olamis here means time. I mean, in... Yeah, I don't think, in other words, olam in biblical Hebrew, with one exception, always means, is always time. And there's only one place that it might mean place. But in Mishnaic Hebrew, olam can mean both. But I think olam mi probably only means time. Michael, your comments?
Oh, no, I was wondering
what the exception was. Gam olam nasan belibam. Don't ask me questions about that. It's safe for Koheles. So if it means what it means, it presents certain problems. That sounds like it's talking about the Welt, as we say. Okay. Anyway. Fine. Yes.
Do we ever have ha'olam besides that?
Yeah, but it refers to time. Gam min ha'olam ad ha'olam. But that's chronological, not spatial. Okay. Anyway, so Rashi says that the definition of a toeva is something that we're merachek. The Torah prohibits it, and it doesn't matter how it comes about; it always remains aser. Now that will tell you why. Tosfos is in the wrong place. Go to Amud. They ran out of space on this page. When you consider, by the way, that they did the typesetting in a pre-computer age, it's actually remarkable the job that they did, even when how they did it. Right.
Someone said to me earlier this week that you have some lines in Tosfos Rush you don't have in Tosfos because they actually cut lines out of Tosfos.
Eino min hanimna, that may be correct. In other words, our Tosfosim, Tosfos Rush, I believe, is a better witness because there were no constraints. I think that's correct. Yes. I don't know how you could prove that, but
it doesn't seem quite as likely because you have sometimes even a whole daf which is just Tosfos.
Ben, that doesn't. It means that if you have a Tosfos that's very similar, but it's missing a couple lines in ours, that means it's coming from the same source. But when the printers put it on, they had to do something. That doesn't mean that our Tosfos is Tosfos. It depends on the Masechta, but our Tosfos here is probably Tosfos Rashba, Tosfos Rash Mishans, and Tosa Rush is the Rush's collection, so it's not identical to start with, but it means when you find things that are clearly the same Tosas, but there's a difference and a couple lines are missing, that may be the product of printers who had to fit things on. Okay, so anyway, Tosas writes Kol Shetiyavti Lach on Kofte, it's printed on Koftes Vav Amid Aleph. Go ahead. Yeah, next Tosas on Koftes Vav Amid Aleph. Kol Shetiyavti Lach. So this is a very serious halachic problem. I don't know what people ask shilas, or if they don't bother asking shilas. Owning pets for a Jew is a very complicated matter. Because David, I'm not. I hope you don't have any pets in the apartment. Okay. But it's complicated because unless you want to allow your, you know, if it's a female, you know, cat or dog, unless you want to be constantly having litters, or if you want you may care less if it's a male, you know, dog, or a cat, because you're not going to know that it's responsible for somebody else's litters. So what people typically do in this country is they neuter the pets. That's very nice, but it's halachically problematic. Because the Torah prohibits, you're not allowed to castrate animals, nor, you know, if you, what's that, if you or humans for that matter, that's a given. The only serus that's permissible is chemical serus. In humans, perhaps for women, not for men, and I think in animals there may not be a distinction between male and females in that regard, but that's not a very, it's not a one-time thing, and it's not a very efficient way of doing things. And therefore it's a serious question, because if you get a pet, to have it, you know, neutered, spayed, is that the term?
Is not so pashut.
So Tosas asked a different question here, which is, how are we allowed to eat Elim? So this is not a worry about dogs and cats, but let's say you buy a bull that was, let's say, castrated, an ox is castrated usually or often. So now you want to shecht it and eat it. So Tosha says, how are we allowed to shecht and eat it? Somebody performed a prohibited act on it. It should be kol shetiyavti lach, and the bull and the ox or whatever it is, the castrated bull, should be aser b'hana. So Tosha says, how are we allowed to do that? And he answers,
you shouldn't even be allowed to plow with that.
Perhaps also, right. But I guess in Tosfos' time, there weren't too many Jewish farmers. right? There weren't too many Jewish farmers. Okay, so you know we'll start. We'll keep you in suspense till tomorrow, and we'll answer the.
Not tomorrow.
Rabbi Ganak is going to be giving shir. Rabbi Yaakov Nagain is going to be shir tomorrow. I expect everybody here. You have the stuff. Please prepare. Let's pretend to impress him. Make me look good, guys. Okay. Okay, so we will continue in this Tosis on Sunday. The Lineder, by Sunday, you will have lots and lots and lots of questions for Chulin. Okay?